The Customer Spotlight series of the Grin Gets Real podcast is really meant to highlight Grin brands who are successfully leveraging creators as part of their marketing strategy. Now, each brand shares their brand story and insight on how creators add value to that story. In each episode, we dive into who the brand is, their customer creator program, and the impact the creator economy has on their brand. Today, I am chatting with Cindy and Lara from Inkbox. Now, Inkbox has been producing semi-permanent tattoos and accessories since 2015 and is constantly working on new ways to empower the ever-changing story of you. With over 10,000 artist-created designs, our freehand tattoo marker, and custom platform, millions of people from 190 countries have gotten inked with their new fashion accessories that last 1 to 2 weeks. So sit back, relax, and get ready to listen to the Inkbox story of influencers and creators as a strategy. Lara and Cindy, welcome to the Grin Gets Real podcast. This is a special customer spotlight episode where we get to dive into Inkbox.
Yes, thank you so much for having us. We're so excited to be here.
Well, I'd love to get started with just learning a little bit more about your brand. So how did Inkbox get started?
Okay, so who are we? We create semi-permanent tattoos with a plant-based ink that lasts on your skin for 1 to 2 weeks. We're actually started in around 7 years ago now, which is crazy. We're still relatively young by two brothers out in Toronto who have been able to grow this project into an amazing organization now to upwards of around 160 employees. Fun fact, we're still based out of Toronto. So, Canada represent. A little bit more about our product. Basically, users can choose from a selection of 10,000 designs plus on our website, all designed by artists around the world, as well as the option to customize your own tattoo however you like it. So you can essentially turn any sketch to tattoo format. And then we also have a new product called the freehand tattoo marker. For those who want more like instant gratification with our semi-permanent ink, because with our traditional tattoos, they take about an hour to apply and then 24 to 36 hours to fully develop. Whereas freehand tattoo marker, you just grab the marker as you would with anything else and draw it on your skin. And so, yeah, that's a bit about Inkbox. And what we strive towards is creating a product that helps others slash our customer base really fully express themselves.
Now, how did they even come up with the idea of creating these temporary tattoos?
I think they were just tattoo curious to begin with and wanted a mode like, hey, how do we make tattoos more accessible? Obviously, not everyone can get a tattoo or wants the permanent effect of it. And so I think their curiosity just grew from there in terms of like product and research and finding the right type of ink that kind of works well. It's taken many years to develop into what the product is now today. I've been here for 4 years and seen the first product. You basically had to like hold on with a warm towel for 15 minutes. And so thank goodness to our R&D team to where we are today. It's more like a sticker application. But to answer your question, it was more so tattoo curiosity and how do we make tattoos more accessible to the everyday consumer.
Now, who are the competitors in your space? Because my head kind of goes to like the henna tattoos. I don't know if they're called henna tattoos, but you know what I'm talking about?
Totally.
Yeah. Because those seem to fall sort of in like the same area, but...
Yeah, we have henna, and then we have kind of more of your traditional temporary tattoos that we all are, I'm sure, familiar with from our childhood, where you would wet with a paper towel. Where we fall different is that our tattoos, the longevity of it, our tattoos last 1 to 2 weeks, and the look and feel of the tattoo is very similar to that of a permanent tattoo. And so that's what is kind of sets us apart from our competitors, the longevity and the quality of the tattoo itself, where it mimics most closely to permanent tattoo.
And you said that you can get custom tattoos. So like if I do have a sketch or a drawing that I want to kind of test out before maybe I do get it tattooed, is that something I can submit and then it'll come back to me?
Totally. Yeah, we have a custom platform on our website. And essentially you can just upload whether that be a portrait or a design. And then our in-house team kind of turns that into what would work best with our product. Sometimes there's a bit of tweaks in terms of the designs, but relatively you'd be able to keep the integrity of your design and have that fully translate to a tattoo.
Oh, I like it. Could you potentially use that as like a stencil for a tattoo artist?
We wouldn't recommend it. I think the way people are going about it, if they want to use Inkbox to be testing permanent tattoos, is more so going to a tattoo artist and asking for permission to use their designs, to use it in this capacity, turn it into an Inkbox tattoo. And then from there, they can test it out, have it for the 1 to 2 weeks and see if they like the placement or the design itself. And then from there, they'd go back to the artist. Not necessarily recommending them to use that as a stencil, because this is actually a frequently asked questions from our customers. We recommend you letting the ink fully fade before you have an artist go in with actual ink.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. But it does feed into my next question in regards to who are your ideal customers? Because, you know, I don't know how large the tattoo community is, but maybe there are corporate customers. It's funny at Grin, we always talk about like getting a Grin tattoos. And, you know, I obviously have the little fake Grin tattoos and whatnot, but like, who are your customers?
Well, we are trying to target Gen Z, absolutely. So we really are trying to as well position ourselves as, you know, that fashion, that beauty accessory that when you're like picking out your outfit for the morning, what Inkbox tattoo do you want to put on your body to basically complement that? So we are targeting Gen Z, but ultimately we really can be a product for anyone. So what you just described, like we should really hook Grin up with some Inkbox tats because
we will take that offline. We've got a huge summit coming up, which would be really great. I mean, like, I guess, and especially in, and we'll get down like the creator space, but I really try to think with any brand, there's an ideal customer that you have. So these guys, they created this for the people who are tattoo curious, but I'm kind of wondering who are the tattoo curious and how do you promote out to them? Like, what's that marketing strategy look like to identify who is tattoo curious?
The ethos of the brand is really like using Inkbox tattoos to express yourself. And when we look at society today or consumers today, who are the generation that are expressing themselves the most? And it's Gen Z. So that is our target market from a marketing perspective. And that is absolutely who we're going after.
I love it. And it sounds like it definitely easily fits into just kind of their lifestyle because of just kind of the different ways that you guys are developing the product so that you have, you kind of are scratching everybody's itch of like, I need something right away. I need something that I've personally designed, or I don't want to think about it. I just am tattoo curious. What would a tattoo even look like on me? Right.
And to add to Lara, Gen Z, I think, is having a lot of fun with their looks and self-expression. And our Inkbox, you have the ability to switch that up every 1 to 2 weeks if you like, and you don't have to be tied to one thing. And so I think it really does speak to that generation right there and being able to also express your like true obsessions as well as in terms of belonging of community. If you like certain art or you like certain fandoms, you can express that through Inkbox tattoos and connect with your community that way.
I love it. Now, how do you use just kind of this ideal customer to help you find the right creator for your program?
Totally. I think when you're thinking about, or when a brand talks or thinks about their ideal customer and how to find a creator that speaks to them, the first question is, who are they watching? Who are they turning to for inspiration? Enter this era of like micro creators being more engaging and efficient for brands, as well as TikTok, where they value authenticity and connectivity. And so I find that when looking for the right creator, they naturally have to fall into our target audience or would be our ideal customer, because that's kind of who our ideal customer is looking to. You're looking to your peers, your friends for inspiration. And I think that is a starting point. And then there's also looking at their content and if that aligns with our brand values and if it amplifies and can align or complement the messaging that we're putting out for whatever product, brand, moment, collection.
How long have you been leveraging creators at Inkbox?
Okay, so I started back in 2018. We didn't really have a program back then. We had a partnerships manager and there would be like the loose inbound creators being like, hey, love your product, would love to try it out. And so it started out more as like a product gifting tactic. But then myself alongside other key members of the social team at that time, we decided to build out the program a bit more. the main focus at that point was kind of driving more brand awareness and having more of a presence on platforms that our target demographic spending a lot of time on, which at the time was Instagram and YouTube. And so that's kind of where it started. We started pushing more of a brand awareness campaign and an evergreen approach to it. Obviously, it has evolved over the years with new platforms, but it's still held true in the sense that like, we're trying to create a community to inspire those within our community, as well as bring in new members into the community and show them how Inkbox is used, demonstrated, and like different use cases as well. So I find creator marketing a great way to produce social proof for a brand and bringing in more of the human element for people that land on your brand's account for the first time and be like, what is this? Like, who's using it? How does it work?
Nice. I heard you say that you started, you know, from kind of those one-offs, but also doing just kind of product gifting with a bigger play on brand awareness. Would you say in the evolution since you've started with Inkbox that your objectives have changed, meaning like you've added on to brand awareness and I don't know, you've developed the program beyond product gifting, or are you still seeing a lot of success within just kind of that product gifting strategy with when working with creators?
It definitely has evolved a bit. Like there is still a lot of focus on brand awareness and we still heavily utilize product gifting and seeding tactics for our campaigns. But we've also found it very valuable to be working with creators on a paid capacity, more in the realm of macro mid-tier creators. And this typically helps us find new audiences, one, and test audiences to create content that is applicable and useful across different marketing channels. Because working with creators in a paid capacity, you're often able to provide a brief with the key messaging and you're able to really use the creator's voice in obviously their unique way to amplify the brand voice and their key messaging. Versus with gifting, as we all know, it's not always 100% what you do receive. It's more so maintaining that relationship and like introducing the product to potential prospective users.
Now, you mentioned macro and testing new audiences. What do you mean by that?
Yes. Yeah, so as Lara had mentioned, and you had mentioned earlier, like tattoos could honestly be for anyone, the tattoo curious. And like, we've always, obviously we want to be narrowing it down and like, we've done a great job at being like, okay, this is kind of where we think our customer base is at, but there's also different communities within that. And for example, we've always been interested and like our performance team always had an inkling about the gaming world, anime and fandom world. And so to be able to kind of tap onto creators that captivate those audiences to create content, it's a great way to test that audience. Are they really resonating with our product? What's working with the content that they're putting out with our product? What's not working? And then also alongside with content that is put out on their page, when you look at the comments, I think that's great into like one, how they, the sentiment of the collaboration and like if something that is truly working with that community and also insight into the product development, like what people want to be seen down the line or like what they're amped about.
What I love about what you're saying is that to me, it sounds like you're evaluating your creator program or working with creators beyond like that one-to-one sale of like, hey, creators and influencers, this is definitely a successful, you know, strategy for us. By looking at just kind of the sentiment and getting that product feedback that you are looking for, do you find that you have to continuously prove that this is a good strategy for your marketing team?
What's nice about our team, I'd say there's a lot of belief and there's no questioning that influencer marketing brings a great opportunity across multiple departments. And again, it gives us insights for not just our team, but for teams across the board. Like if we find success working with a creator in that anime space, how do we translate that into an email? How do we translate that into the tactics working on performance? And so they definitely see the value there. And it's just more, I think in the beginning of my time here, influencer marketing or our team was kind of siloed, whereas now it's more of an integrated approach and we're kind of all working together on campaigns that reflect something that's more 360 versus just, this is what we're doing on the side, but like, this is actually how we can help your teams inform your decisions and your strategies and vice versa.
Yeah, I love that. But one of the things that I consistently see, like customer over customer and brand over brand is that strategy that you're talking about, including the entire marketing organization into like creators and influencers, because it's true. I mean, it's almost in the same way as that content marketing benefits like the entire organization as well too. That's definitely the way that I view creators and influencers. Would you say that's the same as well too?
Yes, most definitely.
So if you had to then answer the question of how creators are driving value for your brand, how would you articulate that?
Yeah, I would start off with quality content that is useful across multiple channels. Over my time here at Inkbox, we've been finding that UGC is a high performing piece of content, not only on our social channels, but on our email, our web, and performance. That would be one. So quality of content and usefulness across the board. Two, I'd say bringing in brand awareness and directing traffic to our website, especially with the rise of TikTok and a lot of products being found on TikTok. We're finding that it really does pay off to have a lot of eyeballs on your social channels and your social presence. And so working with a Rolodex of creators and having a strong gifting program really amplifies our presence on those spaces and continues to feed traffic to our website through our social platforms. And then the third one, I think, would be back to that insight or like social listening aspect of it that really helps drives marketing strategy moving forward and like what we could do better at, what are we missing, what are things our audience is naturally asking for, and how to spot trends within that as well. An example of this is like when we're working with creators, a lot of our evergreen since tattoos are again very individual to each creator. Like you can see the creator selection. We allow creators to choose up to 6 tattoos that really resonate with them. And over the past few months, you can even see like a trend with what the creators are picking and what is working with their content, for example, like butterfly tattoos or even placement wise. The creators are loving putting their tattoos on their lower backs. And so this also helps inform like what is happening on performance and email or web. So they could put out a landing page about butterfly specific tattoos, or there's an email specifically to showcase all of these tattoos. So yeah, I think those are the three main value drivers for us in terms of creative marketing here at Inkbox.
Nice. Are you guys concentrating on very specific platforms? I heard you say like the evolution was, of course, Instagram first, but of course, this rise of TikTok. Everybody wants to be on TikTok, right? And that's the wild west of like, how do we leverage creators and how do we identify that? Are you still really heavy on Instagram? Have you dabbled in TikTok? I would also think that like YouTube creators would be great as well too, because I am so visually based. I want to see instructions on all things visually, like in a video. So like what platform would you say you've seen the most success with leveraging creators?
Totally. I honestly will say, and then to jump on the bandwagon, TikTok. What I love about TikTok is that like, I think we're moving to a space where like, again, we don't have to be working with mega influencers that have like less reaches. Like they value the content. Like TikTok values content that is entertaining and insightful and that resonates with their audience no matter what your reach is. And so I think we're finding most success on that platform. And it's also been seen through our growth tactics as well. Like when you see one of our videos, whether it be made in-house from our social media producer or it was an organic mention from a creator mentioning Inkbox, you can see the real life business impact via the traffic on our website. So you see a spike from that day. And so when everyone talks about like TikTok made me buy it, and I'm sure all of us within the industry has heard it a ton, but like it's true and it does work.
I was just going to say strategically too, our leadership team is focused on growing the TikTok platform. So a lot of our gifting and creator marketing efforts are heavy on that platform, heavier than Instagram and YouTube. So we do put a lot of time and energy into that platform.
Now, what would you say is the biggest difference in executing your program between Instagram and TikTok? Like I would imagine that you have very unique challenges with the different platforms, but what kind of challenges have you found when working with TikTok creators? Or maybe it's not even when working with them, it's just maybe in finding them or finding success within like what they're doing, or maybe it's even the type of content as well too. I have so many questions about it.
Totally. No, I think it's very different. I've learned a lot over the past few months as we ramped up our efforts on TikTok. We're constantly tweaking our briefs, but it is short like form video versus like a static image. There's a lot more that goes into it, and there's a lot more do's and don'ts of how do you interact with the product. What is something that I've learned over the past few months too is like, don't put your creators in a hole or a corner. Like, you obviously work with creators for a reason and you want to use their unique voice and their unique way of creating content. Don't make something, I love the saying of like, you're making TikToks, not ads, right? So it still has to feel authentic to their audiences. Cause like, I've definitely seen other brands bomb this aspect where it's just like, it looks so inauthentic to the creator, and it's just like they're reading off bullet points and they're showing off the products, and it's just a very, very stale video. Whereas there's more room to play on TikTok, and that's a lot of fun. It brings challenges as well, like I said, with being able to kind of find the right creator that can amplify your product, but also providing enough guidelines, just enough where like they're providing a video that still is hitting all of your key messaging and like showing the product in the light that it needs to be shown, but it's not taken away from the creative freedom.
So you said something that I kind of just want to double click on was the authenticity piece, and it sounds like one of those pieces to creating that authentic content that you see is allowing the creators the space to do what they're good at. Is there something else to creating that authentic content besides that? I mean, is there something in how you're finding those influencers, the relationships that you build with them? Like, how else do you think you can create like that authentic content that resonates?
I'd say there's a multitude of ways to do that, whether you're activating with people that have already used your product organically. I think there's a natural interest and authentic use there. There's also the point of like, what is the concept of the brief and who are the types of creators that are creating this type of content? Because naturally, like if you're looking for a get ready with me, or you're looking for to test a, like a transitional piece, go to the creators that are like freaking killing it on TikTok with all of that. And that way it's more like versus going to a content creator that doesn't have any skill set in that, but you think it has a high reach or whatever, and you think they have a high influence and you want to go work with them, but they don't have the natural ability or skills to be working into that brief, it doesn't feel authentic because that's not something they're used to doing. So you can't ask like a cosplayer to be doing like a summer get ready with me, if you know what I mean.
That's very true. Two very different videos.
Yeah. So it's just, I think finding the right creator that is already producing that type of content you're looking for. And then the other side to that was just like finding people that are authentically already jazzed about your product and that are already using it and that can speak to it in more of like a testimonial aspect because they are true users of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you leverage your creators for helping you answer some of the FAQs that you guys get about your product?
So when we're building our briefs for creators, there is the key messaging aspect and then the product benefits. And that's a lot of the times what is answering a lot of those FAQs, like whether our product is vegan or plant-based or waterproof, and then it lasts 1 to 2 weeks. So it has all of those elements, not always necessarily going to be messaged every single point, but with that information, a lot of the times it'll be put through the video. And then if something is missed or there is a question within the comments, the creators a lot of the times are jumping into that and answering it because they have that knowledge product already.
So they're out there educating the audience on top of, you know, providing that brand awareness for you so that you don't necessarily have to answer those questions. I love it. Now, how large is your program? And you can or don't have to give me like a number of like active creators that you have on a continuous basis. And the reason that I ask this is because I've seen a couple of different tactics when it comes to creating an influencer program. Some people like it's a numbers game, especially with brand awareness. And it's all about getting people in and out the door, in and out the door. That's definitely one strategy. The other one is more of a long-term strategy. So it's not thousands of influencers. It's a concentrated amount of influencers so that you can build those long-term relationships. So in that sort of spectrum, where do you guys live?
I would say it's a hybrid, actually. So we definitely put out, like, we definitely try to gift, you know, X amount of people or X amount of creators per month, like net new. And then ideally we can funnel those folks or those creators through into our brand advocacy program and then potentially work with Cindy on paid partnerships.
So that part of it is a numbers game. But then when we look at the creators that we work with on a monthly basis, like almost like essentially on a retainer, that number is really anywhere between 15 to 30. I'm thinking like gifting and paid. So then that number is small and concentrated, and those creators absolutely know our brand. They've worked with multiple campaigns. You know, their content is fire. We know, like, as soon as we're briefed to create a marketing team, hey, here's what's coming up in our heads, or especially in Cindy's head, she knows exactly what creator on her essentially roster she can put that creator on, or sorry, that program on, I should say. So yeah, I would say it's a hybrid. And I think it's a delicate balance too, because from when you look at it purely from numbers, you're not always going to get quality content. And that is really important for myself and Cindy and for our team to fill all of our marketing channels with. That's really important. It's a vibe, you know, like, you know, Inkbox is a vibe. It's a mood. It's how you express yourself. So our content does need to look a certain way. But then at the same time, we do have pretty high volume KPIs. So like I said, it's a bit of a balance. I don't know, Cindy, is there anything else you want to add?
No, I think you hit it spot on in terms of like, it's a delicate balance between the two, but there's definitely value. And like within our strategy to be having and nurturing those long-term relationships with creators, because at the end of the day, I think that is what is driving more of the customer loyalty and retention. Inspiring is the long-term relationships that we're having with them creators.
Excellent. And then I just have like kind of one final question for both of you. Because I'm assuming that the answer could be relatively the same, but I'd love to hear how you're defining success in your program. Like what is a successful campaign? What is a successful program for you guys? Is it, you know, we get lots of traction, we get lots of, you know, traffic. Is it engagement? What does success look like for an overall influencer program for you guys?
Yeah, I mean, for me, like success of a influencer marketing program is a multitude of things. And I think I touched on this before with the value. And so first, it's like the traffic is definitely one of our KPIs over here, and the EMV of like the content that is produced from our community, how that is measured and how that would have shown up on traditional means of media to our team. And sometimes it's hard to articulate to leadership, but it's definitely something that has been part of like how we showcase the true value of our program. And then there's another part that we're still working on to kind of define and like put a value towards, but it is quality content aspect. Seeing the content that is performing or outperforming in-house content through paid media and email and having higher click-through rates. So I think it's the quality of content that is also coming through that is more of like a qualitative check of how the program is going, as well as the numbers game of like, again, impressions and like seeing where our hashtag Inkbox is at with Instagram and TikTok and how that has grown, because that directly also correlates to the traffic to our website and our follower growth as well. Lara, I don't know if I'm missing anything from that.
I would say the only thing just to round that out, it's so interesting because I'm coming at it from a community perspective. So my answer would be, quite frankly, like seeing people get funneled through from like the gifting seeding stage all the way up to working with Cindy on a paid promotion, and see them like even potentially be gifted and have no idea, never used the product, and to see them fall in love with the product and post again and again and again on their channels, like without even being asked to, and to basically be building those relationships and seeing that community really be built. For me, I would say that's how I deem success. Obviously you can't put numbers to that. That's intuitive and that's a feeling, but I do think that is such an important aspect of creator marketing as a whole or community marketing, because ultimately all of this content is making you feel a certain way when you watch it. So it really comes back, I guess, to that authenticity. And you unfortunately can't put a number on authenticity, but we can all feel it. So,
yeah, well, we can definitely feel it. And I actually really love that that's what you said as well, too, because I had a follow-up question in regards to just kind of community, that you just hit the nail on the head. It is that community aspect that you get from working with creators who truly are authentic and love your brand. And that feeling that you're talking about, to me, that's building brand equity, which is essentially what creators are helping you do as a brand. Because that brand equity part is that feeling, the emotion that like your brand is going to invoke. Like when you see a post on the tattoo, like it should mean something, that it's like an ink box tattoo for your consumers. And then to be part of kind of, this is going to sound cheesy, but a quote unquote club, it's that community, right? Everybody wants to belong. I mean, we're all human. That's essentially what we want.
Totally. Like our community is an extension of our brand, and the way that is exactly how we would feel about our community. And like, that's, I've had a lot of discussions about like why it is so important to have a community within your brand and building that. And I just, the feeling of belongingness is so great, especially in the times of COVID too, having that community was like, and that's when our community was starting to like pop off as well. There's a lot of people home, a bit bored, using Inkbox. It's been nice to kind of like have a lot of like reoccurring faces that you interact with day to day and like get excited about new product launches. And yeah, it makes my job, and I'm sure Lara's job, fun to like walk into every day, because those are the people who we're interacting with most.
Yeah, absolutely. I also think with the audience that you're, you know, currently deem as like your ICP, which are the Gen Zers, it's the value of relationships that makes such a huge difference. And if Inkbox has that for them, it just makes it easier for you guys. Like, hey, this is the brand that I want to get behind, because you guys stand for something. You're not just another product, right? Nobody wants to be like a churn and burn kind of a, you know, interaction with a brand. I love it. Well, thank you both so much. I appreciate you guys coming on here, sharing a little bit about Inkbox, as well as sharing some insights in regards to your creator program in general. So thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you. It was so fun, truly.
As a fan of Inkbox as a consumer, this episode was a real fun one for me, because their story is really built on the expression and really scratching the itch to those who are tattoo curious. I love their approach to working with creators. It is definitely not a one size fits all. And it means to me that they are consistently like turning over rocks to find out who that next great creator is for their program. Now, remember, you're always going to get brand awareness, community, revenue, and content from implementing a strategy with creators. How much of each takes a strong relationship between creator and brand to achieve mutual success. Treat creators like your brand revolves around them, because in the creator economy, it does. Now, be sure to subscribe to the Grin Gets Real podcast for more customer spotlight stories and marketing strategy. Give us some stars and write a review. Tell me your favorite episode. And feel free to connect with me on social. Katya Allison, you can find me on LinkedIn. If you're interested in learning more about Grin, visit our website at grin.co. And most importantly, remember, until next time, keep grinning.